And welcome back to Innovation on Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland, and joining me in the studio is Mark Lukey. He's with the South Dakota Innovation Partners, and welcome to Innovation. Thanks for being here.
Kara, it's great to be here.
And also joining us on the phone is Paul Terman. He is the Vice President for Research and Economic Development with the South Dakota Board of Regents. Paul, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And so we're talking about a couple of different things, but talking mostly just about biotech and the biotech field in South Dakota. So it started off young. It's still kind of young, but growing. So, Mark, why don't you give me a little snapshot on where we're at with biotech?
Absolutely, Karen. It did start off small, but I can tell you that it's growing quite rapidly. And I think your program does a great job of highlighting some of the things that are happening today. We do have a South Dakota annual biotech summit coming up mm-hmm. on September 19th. That's here in Sioux Falls. And so we're excited about that. And a lot of companies and people are preparing for that. And, South Dakota Board of Regents and Paul Terman are a big part of helping us get this biotech industry off the ground. And it really starts with research and then what we're able to do with research in terms of commercialization.
Mm-hmm. So it's taking it to that next step. But when we talk biotech, we're talking ag research, we're talking medical research, we're talking fuel. I mean, all of it is all lumped in together.
It's all lumped in together, and South Dakota Biotech really tries to embody the different industries, the biotech industries that are here in South Dakota, and I think does a really good job of that. The medical industry is obviously very well represented by our large health systems, and certainly from a biofuel perspective, we have a number of large and independent biofuel plants that really support the industry, and there's other agricultural opportunities like the one public-private partnership that we've pulled together with Prairie Aquatech that are new emerging what I consider ag tech type of companies.
And Prairie Aquatech, let's just segue right into that.
So Prairie Aquatech was formed about 18 months ago based on research that was done by Dr. Bill Gibbons and Dr. Mike Brown at South Dakota State University. So again, really leveraging the innovation that's happening there. And it started when a fish nutritionist and an industrial microbiologist got together and were talking about a common problem, which is a growing population, the need for more food, and the rapid decline of a feed ingredient called fish meal. Mm-hmm. And they're developing a way where we can use South Dakota agricultural products like soybean meal and dried distiller grains, upgrading those products and completely replacing fish meal in aquaculture diets and the diets of other animal species.
Okay, and they have been featured on Innovation as well. I believe they were part of the boot camp, the accelerator boot camp.
They were.
Yeah. And we're on our program talking about it, doing their five minute pitch.
Absolutely.
Right? And so now they've made it. They've gone from the idea, from the concept, ready to commercialize.
We're in the process of commercializing right now. And a recent press release that we sent out, and again, this is in close partnership with South Dakota Board of Regents and the Governor's Office of Economic Development. Prairie Aquatech just surpassed $5 million in total funding. And that total funding comes from a number of both public and private partners that have really come together to make this happen. The South Dakota Board of Regents was really good in providing $500,000 from their Performance Improvement Fund to help buy equipment that will go into our Ag Tech Center, which will break ground at the end of September. It's a 30,000 square foot pilot scale facility that's being constructed in Brookings. Mm-hmm. And then a number of other public organizations, the Governor's Office of Economic Development, supporting with programs like Dakota Seeds and the Proof of Concept Program to help with new product development. The National Science Foundation and the United States Department of Agriculture are also partners in providing grant funding. And then South Dakota Innovation Partners and the fund that we manage, Innovation Fund One, is providing private investment capital to help support the gaps in some of the public funding. So it's really a large team of very important partners that make this happen.
And Paul Terman, are you professors from the higher education schools in South Dakota, when they come and say, "I have this idea," are you open to all? Do you always know that they might make it?
You know, I think it's kind of like a lottery. You make some good choices, and sometimes those really do hit big. And as your kind of earlier comment about the seeds of where biotech can really kind of go in South Dakota, while relatively young, I think the governor has made some wise investments with the governor research centers here in the past 7 to 8 years, where we've targeted some of these kind of growth sectors in the bio industry. Bill Gibbons had worked with Lou Christopher at South Dakota School of Mines and Technology in the CBRD, the Center for Bioprocessing Research and Development. And I think some of his work now is starting to carry over into the work that they're doing with Prairie Aquatech. And so all these things seem to kind of to form very good opportunities when ideas like this do come about. And then because of some good state investments, now that we've got somebody like Mark Lukey and Innovation Partners there, there's the opportunity for researchers to make that next leap into commercializing their activity. Because without that kind of angel investment arena, it's very difficult for these things really to go where it is that they need to go.
So, Paul, walk me through from idea to commercialization. What's the process from the Board of Regents perspective?
Well, a lot of times this occurs more at the institutional level. You know, as researchers engage in basic research in their lab, as new ideas begin to kind of develop, then it becomes important that they are communicating with their technology transfer officers on the campus so that they are able to lock in the potential patent that might be involved with what it is that they've come up with. And then I think at that point, they continue to do their testing and determine whether or not what it is they have is something that's new and that's unique and there is any long-term commercial potential that emerges from it. And that's where I think the things like the Governor's Office of Economic Development having the proof of concept fund, having some dollars set aside where they can do that preliminary testing to take it to that next stage where outside investors might be interested in making an investment there.
So, Mark, I'm going to ask you the same question from your perspective. What's the process?
It's exactly as Paul described it, and I would just echo a couple of points that Paul made. The importance of the researcher getting to the technology transfer office and being able to secure those patent rights, you know, on behalf of South Dakota Board of Regents, so that a company like ours can license the technology. When we start these knowledge-based companies or these technology-based companies, there's not a lot of buildings, there's not a lot of equipment, you know, there's not a lot of assets that you can take out and leverage for financing. And, you know, the one significant asset that you use to get started is that patent application. And then what we do once we've licensed that into a startup company is we begin to work on the technology development and the market development pieces that Paul was describing and really try to get out to the market and find partners quickly so that we can be validated and making sure that we're trying to solve a problem that the market needs a solution for. Mm-hmm. And so each of those components working together is absolutely critical.
Okay.
And I might add too to that, and one of the things that's changed here in the last year has been at the federal level, they've transitioned the patent process to what used to be, you know, a first to develop to a first to file. And so if a faculty member develops something new and presents that, the first time that it goes out into the marketplace, anybody else can latch upon that and then take it for themselves and market it and get the intellectual property that comes from it. And so doing this process of working with TTO offices very, very early in the initial stages of anything new that comes out of a lab is very, very important.
So don't tell anybody until you have a patent.
Until somebody who understands your technology has had a chance to look at it and see if there is real market potential that's out there.
Okay. How has the number of patents grown in South Dakota as biotech industry has grown as well?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, people have been talking recently about the 48th ranking in technology and innovation. And I think that's it's unfortunate that those if you dig into the metrics, they really just look at what's happened in the past as opposed to what's happening presently. Patents is a great example. You know, South Dakota may have only had, you know, one or two patents issue over the last few years. But if you look at the pipeline of patent applications that are currently being prosecuted, just in our portfolio alone, we have 30 plus patent applications that we're actively prosecuting. So, yeah, I think the pipeline for technology and innovation in South Dakota is incredibly robust. But it takes a little while for the metrics to catch up to that.
Okay. So, and what's the patent I mean, how long does it take?
Well, the patent process itself can take 3 to 4 years.
Wow.
From once you filed a provisional patent at the university to prosecute that all the way through to an issued patent. It could take 3 to 4 years.
And is this, are we attracting more researchers to South Dakota because of the growth in the biotech field here?
I'm sure Paul has a comment on this as well. I think we're not only attracting top talented researchers from around the country into South Dakota, but I think we're retaining them. And I think part of the reason that we're retaining them is because of the ecosystem that we've developed from Board of Regents to the Governor's Office of Economic Development to what South Dakota Innovation Partners is doing. We're really surrounding these very talented researchers with all of the support they would need to get their products into the marketplace.
Paul?
And I would affirm that, too. I think without the various kind of funding opportunities that we now have in place, it's very difficult to attract and ultimately retain very good faculty without providing them the necessary resources and the infrastructure that's needed to do the things they do. I don't know that we're able to, you know, retain faculty like Dr. Gibbons and Dr. Brown long-term if things like the governor research centers that they've been involved with haven't come around, or if we don't have the opportunity to provide some funding where it allows them to take their programs to that next stage. And we're seeing biotech really starting to flourish both at SDSU, USD, and School of Mines. And I believe you had Adam Hoppe or Dr. Hoppe on your program a couple of weeks ago talking about what he's doing with the Bio Center, which is really leveraging those three institutions, Avera and Sanford, and cutting across multiple areas of biotech to see how we can really advance our research agenda here in South Dakota.
And when somebody sees somebody else succeed, does that help spark their own creative thinking and say, well, then maybe I can do this too? Here's my idea.
Yeah, I think the place where that really does happen, I firmly believe that we've done a significant amount of very good basic research here in this state for a number of decades. What we're now seeing is more of our faculty really taking that next step to the commercialization stage, where I think faculty look at what it is that Dr. Brown and Dr. Gibbons and Dr. Perumal is another very good example with Transderm at SDSU, what he's doing with different forms of delivery methods for various vaccines. They've been able to successfully bridge into the marketplace, and I think once we start to see very good examples of that coming to fruition, then it's when faculty say, all right, now I understand what it is I'm supposed to do next once the ideas and the problems have been identified.
And they don't always have to leave the university and the research setting to start a company, right? They can always hand that off. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And we've successfully established a model that I think works really, really well in concert with South Dakota Board of Regents policy for faculty members to engage in this type of an activity where they're able to consult with companies, serve in the capacity of a chief scientific officer to make sure that the company's product development efforts are heading in the right direction, but again, retain their faculty position at the university, which is critical to continue to build on the innovation engine that we've established. And South Dakota Innovation Partners has a unique model that not only are we able to provide investment capital to seed those product development, the early stage product development milestones, but also provide business development expertise that the researcher may not have had the opportunity to experience before.
And then, Paul Terman, what does this do for the graduate program and the graduate students who are working in some of these labs?
Oh, and I think those end up being kind of the unforeseen benefits that come from this type of activity, because currently you get the faculty working with students on very cutting-edge types of basic research, and then they also get the entrepreneurial kind of orientation toward how it is when they move out and graduate, how they should kind of follow that same model. And so I think our undergraduate students benefit greatly, especially our graduate students, as we've grown those PhD programs. We have, I think, faculty who work very closely with them and giving them not only the experience but also very good workforce development opportunities going forward.
And what's ahead? What describe the future?
Well, I think the future is really driven by the investments that we make in these public-private partnerships. And Paul outlined early in the segment, the governor's made some very substantial investments in these research centers and continues to do that. And I think as we continue to make those investments, it's almost like a domino effect. As we see examples of this happening, it'll just continue to build on itself and will snowball down the mountain. And Innovation Partners continues to start new companies with faculty members. We continue to invest in new technology development. And so I think what we've started here, what Paul and I are describing, I think just continues to get bigger and bigger the more examples that we have.
And Prairie Aqua Tech, the next steps for that company?
We were in Indianapolis yesterday, okay, speaking with one of our important aquaculture producer partners, and we just talked about producing 25 ton of our product that they'll begin feeding in a grow-out trial beginning in January of 2014. And the next major step after that is to construct a small commercial plant. We have plans both in South Dakota and in Indiana, so it's pretty exciting.
Okay, so that's moving forward quicker than most companies.
Commercialization
process?
It depends. It really depends on the technology. In this case, we've got we've been able to surround Dr. Brown and Dr. Gibbons with a chief technology officer, an operations director, and a number of team members that help not only on new product development but also on the scale-up process. And so, having that well-balanced team is allowing us to move pretty quickly into the marketplace.
Is it fair to say, Paul Turman, that we're in a biotech economy in South Dakota?
I would say that, especially the 2020 vision document, the new science and innovation strategy for the state, biotech clearly intersects the five industry areas that have been identified for that. And so I think what we see for the future is making sure that the limited amount of resources we have are targeted in a way that it's producing the best levels of results in areas where we know we expect to continue to grow for jobs and different companies coming into South Dakota.